2014, like that, came and partnered with our missions team, came and did a couple different sessions, conferences, talks for our university's missions program. And he's been just a friend of the university and a friend of local churches here for years now. They're getting ready. He was just telling me you're 55 days out from their next big One Nation, One Day event in Peru. Did I get that right? In Peru. So he's been 3 weeks on the road, he was telling us. He gets to go home tomorrow. So you're just going to get a lot of like delirious, just sleep deprived, excited to be home. You're going to get it is good stuff is what I'm saying here. Gabe is a blessing to the church, blessing to leaders. Every time I hear him speak, it is an incredible just fountain of wisdom from such an incredible leader. So please, can you thank him? Can you tell him we're happy he's here with us? Can you put your hands together for Pastor Gabe Ballhorn as he comes to the chair?
Thank you, thank you. You guys doing okay? You enjoying some of this Florida weather? I had the privilege to be in Michigan this weekend, so they still don't have leaves on the trees, so we are blessed around here, and good to see all your smiling faces. By a show of hands, how many people came from outside of Florida? Wow, this is awesome, amazing. Well, excited and honored to be a part. Of course, we love Southeastern. We've been a part of the school now with having our extension site. We argue about this, about who was first. We were just joking about this. I think we definitely weren't the first, but we were, I just got in an argument with someone that we were maybe top five, but we'll see. So we've been in it for a minute, and just so honored to be here today and with all of you. Very exciting time for us. And I wanted to just kind of encourage us today, this afternoon, in our sights. And I know that we had the Dr. Reverend Pastor Tim Elmore with you guys this morning. And so in the same vein of him, I've actually taken everything that he said and I've reformed all of my stats. They're all Harvard and Cambridge stats today. So he's a tough act to follow, but excited just to chat for just a moment and spend some time together. We do believe that this time, this season, we say this as an organization that there's something so incredible about the world that we live in right now and our culture with these young people. I want to tell you a little bit about our organization. I'll give you a little bit of history. I know we all come from churches and sites. We all have history. We all have different things that we do, and our students are taking a part and being a part of those things. But we're in a very exciting time, really, in this world we live in. I think we're seeing things that are taking place in our young people and in our students, and our organization, I'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but we are technically, which we hate the label, but we are a parachurch organization, which means, in other words, that we are completely pro-church. We can't exist without the local church. And so we did start our roots. We grew up in southeastern Michigan. Our organization, we moved our headquarters a number of years ago to Southern California, which is God's land. And so it's a beautiful place. I did hear a couple amens. It's a very terrible place to wake up to and see the sunshine every day. And I was reminded of that this weekend when I was in Michigan. But we're loving where we're at right now, and God is really blessing us. About 15 years ago, we started an organization, my wife and I and my best friend and his wife, and we started to take trips overseas. We began to take young people primarily from our church in Michigan and take them overseas and be a part of trips. And we would this started for us back in the mid-90s. I did my first international trip in 1997, grew up in the church all my life and heard about an organization that was taking people international and said, man, I want to be a part of that. I'd love to do that when I was in high school. In 1997, I went to the nation of Guatemala and was a part of a short trip there. And what it did for me as a young person in the 90s is that it opened my eyes. As many of you know who travel international, we grow up in our cities and our towns and our way of thinking and our way of operating. And that's really our four walls of how we grow up are really that's life and that's how life exists. And there's nothing else outside of that. But what we realized when we were young people is that when we went outside of where we grew up, we began to gain some perspective on the world, and it shaped us. And so, you know, we began to just, we went off and went, did our own thing in college and really wrestled with the idea of what would it look like if we one day, these are early questions we were asking, we were young people, what would it look like one day if we started this organization and our primary purpose was to be, because we are, as we all know, we are the church. The church isn't about these four walls. The church isn't about four walls in general. We are the church. We gather on Sundays as the church to scatter throughout our community, and we are the church. And so we had this revelation, of course, of the Great Commission and what Jesus gave us in his final words before he ascended into heaven. What would it look like if we created an environment where churches could come together, because we exist for the church. We exist for the local church. That's why we cannot exist without the local church. And Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, not make converts. And if you want to make disciples, then we obviously know that the vehicle, the only vehicle that God has ordained to sustain transformation in this world we live in is the church. And so we said, man, what would it look like if we gathered together the church at large and we're a part of something so much bigger than ourselves? And so for us, we always had interns that would come and serve our ministry. We always had folks that would come on trips with us. Back in the early 2000s, we were taking groups of people, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 people with us internationally. You know, we would have interns that would say, man, what would it, you know, look like if I came and served you guys for 10, 11, 12 months and we're serving the organization. And we were fine with that at first, but as time went on and as the years passed, we really, man, said, if we're going to really empower young people and students to actually live lives that aren't necessarily, I guess our goal for our site, and when we became a site, was we don't want to create this institution through Southeastern that is just geared towards raising kids up who want to be sent off into the mission field, although that's important and that's beautiful and we love it and we believe in it. But we want to create an environment where every man, so to speak, that all different types of backgrounds, all different types of passions, all different types of things that people want to do with themselves, and I know a lot of you do this, can come together and say, man, we want to create an environment where these people can understand how to live lives that are impossible and radical. And I believe that when we started to ask that question and talk to young people, if we could just take, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about our history and what we do. And I know, again, I know all of us have things that we're doing and the things that our sites and our students are focusing on. But for us, everything we were doing as an organization in reaching the world far outside in this nation and beyond came down to our students and how we are raising up the next generation to carry on this vision. We say as an organization all the time that what we don't accomplish in our lifetime, we will accomplish in our legacy through these students. And so we didn't just want to create an environment where we could have students come out and do things for us that we didn't want to, you know, hire or anything like that. We wanted to create an environment where we could have these students come together and speak to the core DNA of who they were and activate them to live radical, impossible lives for Jesus. And so I'll take you through a little bit, you know, for us that was kind of where we're directing our school and show you a little bit of the history of our organization first. But we do believe as an organization that we have entered into the greatest ministry decade since the death and resurrection of Jesus. We believe that what's taking place now globally across the world, we're seeing things take place that took generations before us, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We're seeing them happen. We're seeing the world change before our eyes in 2, 3, 5, 8 years. And it's a very exciting time for us to be alive, because the thing that we feel is happening is we have this moment with these students, and we say this with them this year. Our theme, we have a theme that we take every year that goes by. Our theme for our school, for us, is to live impossible lives, to live the impossible. In Romans chapter 8, I'll give you this, and we'll talk through a little bit, and I'll show you guys some of the things that are taking place right now. But we have realized that what we've done historically as an organization, and taking groups of people international and exposing them to cities and that type of thing, that the true heart of God is to see cities and nations that are transformed. The heart of God is to see national transformation take place. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes this to the church in Rome and Christians around the world. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then he says this in verse 19, the creation, for all creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. I love this passage of scripture because we see that, of course, we have access to a glory that will be revealed to us now, and the things that we're going through pale in comparison to what's before us. And the theme for us this year with our students is that, and every single year we take them on this theme, that all creation itself is waiting for us as Christians to activate that thing that is unique within inside of each and every one of us. And one of the great privileges that we have as a site, as the missions.me college, is that we're activating that uniqueness within each and every one of our students. And our students, we believe with all of our hearts that our students are going to change the world. They are students that are going to continue their education and go on to have masters in business, to go on and have doctorates, to go on and be lawyers and pastors and ministers and missionaries and everything in between. But the thing that we're speaking to with them is to have a global perspective, because when we come together as a global perspective, I said a statement earlier that we believe as a ministry that we've entered into the greatest ministry decade since the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the logical question that we would ask after that is why? Why do you believe that? That's kind of a big statement. That's a grand statement. Especially in a context like this for us this afternoon. The reason that I believe that and the reason that we believe that is because the world is yet to see the power of a church that's united. And when the church is united, there is nothing that we can't do together. And one of the things that the thing that I wanted to speak to today is that we have all of our sites, you know, most of us, the majority of us aren't even in Florida. We have sites that are around this country. We're gathering young people together. And for us, our students run our entire ministry. They are running every aspect of our ministry. They're engaging. They're gathering the local church. They're every single day on the phone with missionaries. Joe said this: we're on the eve. We're 55 days away from the largest thing that we've ever done, we're gathering 5,000 missionaries this summer, next month, from 33 countries to go to the nation of Peru and to be a part of the largest short-term missions event in history. And for us, that moment that we're gathering is fueled, facilitated, and run by these students solely, 100%. And there's something just so powerful when we allow these students to come into our environments and we foster this environment where they can literally dream of things and activate who God has uniquely called them to be while they're getting their degree, and watch them change the world with us. It's a beautiful thing. And so I wanted to share some of the things that are taking place, for us, we do feel like we've entered into a new era of missions globally. The world has yet to see the power of a church united, and we feel that this is not just a season. Seasons are repetitive. They repeat themselves. Of course, we know what summer, fall, winter, and spring look like, but new eras and eras are things that haven't happened before. And for us, this is a very exciting time to be alive, because we're seeing the church come together in unprecedented ways. We're watching it. I am watching this take place, and I'll share some of the things that we're seeing. I got a couple of videos that I want to share with you. Share some of the things that we're able to be a part of. I know several. I have several friends in the room that are here with us today, whose churches are coming with us and being a part of activating the church globally for what we do. But when I grew up, the church that I grew up in Michigan, when I would enter into the lobby, and this is much like, you know, probably many churches, what we realized is my church growing up had this map on the wall, and that map had little dots all over the wall. And the little dots represented people who probably sent them a letter, because I was one of those people at some point, and asked for, you know, $14.99 a month, and the church decided to come alongside and support me. And we're seeing that churches and our churches are getting to a place where we're saying, man, what would it look like? Of course, if we were touching people and, you know, we're able to bless people when they come in and there's need and there's things that take place. But, you know, what would it look like if the church came together like never before and was a part of something that wasn't about our name, wasn't about our label, wasn't about our denomination, wasn't about our logo, and we were a part of something and we actually believed that it was the heart of God, and it is the heart of God, to see cities and nations transform? What would it look like if we were able to do that together? And then have our students and our sites that are able to contribute and be a part of that. And so in about 2010, we were taking groups of people overseas. Like I said, we had at the time, our largest group that we had ever taken anywhere was about 200 people. And we stumbled upon a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, where the prophet asked the question. He says, can a nation be saved in a day? He says, can a country be brought forth, an entire country rise and be brought forth, depending on your translation, in a moment? And for us, we had never seen, we couldn't trace that that prophecy to having happened in history. And so we began to ask ourselves and say, man, it really is the heart of God. We believe it's the heart of God to see cities and nations transform. What would it look like if we rallied the church to come together under this banner of seeing nations transformed, of seeing the church in a nation activated? You know, when God wants to solve a problem, people, babies are born. But when God wants to solve the problems of a nation, churches are born and brought forth. We believe that the local church, of course, and this is probably a popular phrase that we've all heard, the local church is the hope of the world. We believe that with all of our hearts, that there is no plan B, that the only, if we're to make true disciples, which is an arduous long work and a task that we have to make disciples, as you all know, that the only way to do this, Jesus didn't say go make converts, he said make disciples. We believe the only vehicle that God has ordained to sustain transformation in cities and in nations is his bride, his church. And when we come together and we lock arms, there's really nothing that's impossible for us. So we began to ask the question, what would it look like if we took 2,000 missionaries and we had our site and our students help us gather churches from around the world? Up until 2013, the largest group of people that we had ever brought anywhere, like I said, was 200 people, and we asked everybody we knew to come and be a part of our events that were taking place. So we had this idea. We said, ma'am, what if we had 2,000 missionaries and we went we were praying about the nation of Honduras. What would it look like if we went into Honduras and we gathered the church and we started an event for us that's called One Nation, One Day? And One Nation, One Day, the goal and the vision of One Nation, One Day is to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. One Nation, One Day for us is an event that takes place. It's a moment that creates a movement for us and the church and globally. And so we asked the question back in 2010, 11, 12, and we had faith to have our first One Nation, One Day event in 2013. At the time, we went down and met with the president of Honduras. I don't even really know outside of God how we even got the meeting with the president of Honduras, but he agreed to meet with us. We had very little amount of money in the bank, and we met with the president of Honduras. We said, "Mr. President, we're this small organization based in Michigan, and we have a couple of students, and we want to have this event called One Nation, One Day in your nation, and here's what we would need to have this thing happen." We gave him a list of five provisions that we demanded that he had to comply to. I'll tell you really quickly, they were crazy. I don't know why. We've never done this before. We've always begged dignitaries to let us into the nation and do things, which is, for me, the easier thing. I'd rather beg than demand. And so we said, which was awesome for us, we said, number one, here's what we'll do. If you open up your borders to us and allow us to ship 18 containers of aid to all 18 states, we'll come to your nation. If you open every public high school in the nation to us to do ministry presentations throughout the week, we will come to your nation. If you agree to be in attendance with us for this event called One Nation, One Day in the summer, July 20, 2013, we'll agree to come to your nation. If you also agree to make it a moment of hope and actually recognize this day, July 20, in your nation as a national holiday, a moment of hope for the nation, where the nation calls on the name of God, we will, which is crazy, I don't even know that came out in the moment. The fifth thing was, we said, and by the way, if you agree to give us all 18 stadiums, the largest in your capital city of all 18 states, you give us those stadiums for free. Then, and only then, will we bring 2,000 missionaries to your nation and all sorts of other things. And we didn't even know 2,000 people at the time. And he said, he agreed to all of those things, which was awesome. And then as we left the meeting, we realized what we had just agreed to. And at the time, I can be honest, we had $28,000 in the bank. To take 5,000 or five people to Honduras, it cost, I don't know, like $10,000, probably between flights, international, everything. So we put half the bank account on the line for this thing. We had no idea. And a year later, we had rented 747s in the nation, and we had realized that the church in that nation had been activated. And what we are now a part of is traditional evangelism and missions, unfortunately, in the church, is really third world, and not going to third world places, but we treat it third world. And so having students that have a global perspective changes their perspective forever, but it also, it's taking the boundaries off of our thinking, saying, man, we believe that this is a time in history that no one's ever seen before. This is a new era of world evangelism, of world missions, where we are going to see traditional evangelism. We've all seen the pictures and the videos, is that some evangelist will go into a nation and the church will build a platform for an evangelist. Our model now in this new era is that we spend every single dollar we have, all of our resources, on equipping the church to be the church so that they're in the spotlight. We don't advertise speakers, we don't advertise bands, we don't advertise anything. We simply ask a question: can a nation be saved in a day? And we've seen hundreds of thousands of people gather. And so I'll show you a couple things. I'm actually not used to running a keynote from here, so I'm just gonna toggle through if that's okay, because I'm in the interest of time, I wanna go through this. That was the president of Honduras after the event. That was the new president. He said, "One Nation, One Day" off the camera was the most spectacular moment of unity and hope in our nation's history. And he said, "We realize that you can't fix a nation's problems in one moment." He said, "But what moments point to is we can all trace where we are in our lives right now to decisions we've made in moments. And all of these things really, for us, have been fueled and funneled through our site and through our students and through our program." And one of the things that is different, we see everything we do is in relationship and in covenant. And I think about the opportunity to be able to share with you guys this afternoon and what this room represents. Within churches, within organizations, I think a lot of times we hire based on, you know, things like character, capacity, chemistry. We have people that are part of our team that really are on, you know, we say, do you have the character to be able to operate within the context of this site or this church? And do you have the capacity to do it? And do you have the chemistry with the team? But for us, everything we do comes down to covenant and calling. We are coming into fierce covenant relationships with churches, and we're rallying together, like I said, to see the uniqueness of God, interdenominational from around the world, that is gathering a group of people to see nations transformed. And it's a very exciting thing. I share with you the vision, of course, the vision of One Nation, One Day is to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. And I wanted to show you a little bit of the history really quick of what is possible when, you know, we cast this vision for our students and our staff. We have a very small staff, and again, I know I keep saying this, but our organization and our site and our students, they run every element of what we do, and it's such a powerful team and family that we have there. And all of the results of what I'm about to show you, we're working on our fourth One Nation One Day event next month, and all of it has been fueled by our students. So check this out. So we're on the eve now of the next One Nation One Day, like I said, 5,000 missionaries coming together from 33 nations. And one of the things that's unique about this is that we have now 5,000 missionaries from Peru that are also joining the forces. They're not just volunteers, ushers, and translators, although there are folks that are going to be doing that. But we also have paid missionaries from Peru. For us, the sustainability piece is everything that we do. And this entire thing is fueled through our students. And you know, when I think about, again, the group of people that's here this afternoon and all of the backgrounds and churches and different things that we represent and the things that we have going on, you know, we fully believe that we've entered into this new era, this new place where we can do so much more together. We can see our cities, both internationally and here at home, transformed. We can see, you know, we're not just the pastors of, you know, a church in our city. We're the pastors of our cities. And when we begin to look outside and really see the power that could exist within this network of churches and sites under really, you know, what the banner of what Southeastern has provided, it really is powerful. And, you know, just some of the stats, I'll roll through these pretty quickly in the interest of time, but we've been able to mobilize 8,370 missionaries in the last several years. We've had 44,000 people treated in medical clinics, 545,000 with aid. We've mobilized and resourced over 42,000 pastors. We've been able to reach 750,000 people through ministry teams in school, face-to-face ministry. Over 1.1 million people in stadium outreaches. We've had 52 stadium events since 2013 that have taken place in different nations, and we've reached 2,589 people face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all of that has been a result of the church coming together and uniting all of our forces and saying, "Man, we wanna see nations transformed." And I think where we are right now is a really interesting time in our world. You know, we're in this new era where there's like this, you know, I think of Isaiah 43, where he asks and he talks about the roadway, the roads in the wilderness, that God is doing a new thing. And he says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And, you know, for so long, the church, we've been showing up to places that seem like hard ground and hard soil. And it's almost like we've gone up to these areas where we want to make a lane. We want to have this river. And what we feel like in this new era is that we're in a place where we're showing up, getting ready to plow and till the ground and realizing, oh my God, there's this 12-lane highway that already exists. I have no idea how it got here. But that's the type of acceleration that we see on our world. And that's the type of thing that I think fuels our students to be a part of something that's so much bigger than themselves. You know, we have a well-informed, very educated group of young people in all of our sites. And the passion of these guys is just to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves, and to really just pour their life out into something that will make a difference. And for us, speaking to that element within the spirit, and you know, deep cries unto deep, speaking into that with our students, speaking to that desire for them has activated something that's been truly amazing to watch. You know, we're watching kids that were at prom last year, and now they're you know, able to mobilize people to see nations that are reached. They're running all of these elements, and so, you know, for us, I feel like a really even a conviction and what we can do collectively together to be a part of changing our world. You know, we're on the eve, I was telling the guys this, and for us, we've done three events. Our biggest event that's coming up is next month. But in 2013, Pastor Tommy Barnett came with us and spoke to the spiritual leaders of Honduras with us, and he was there in that moment. And a couple months after, he pulled us aside and he said, he brought us out to Los Angeles. This is before we moved. And he said, I want to have you guys out. He said, One Nation, One Day in Honduras was the greatest missions event I've ever been a part of. And for those of you who know Pastor Tommy, he's probably said that to everybody. He's like the most gracious, wonderful. I mean, if he meets you, you're the best person he's ever met in his life. And we took it, of course, as the only time that he's said it. And he said, the real reason I brought you guys to Los Angeles, that I flew you from Detroit to see the Dream Center and to see what's taking place through the Dream Center in Los Angeles, is because I've had a dream to be a part of something, to gather the church, to be a part of something that is not only international, but also here at home. And at the time, we had no reference point for that. We always thought that our lives would be used to take young people, to take people really of all ages, and to go into the nations and do what it is that I've been talking about today. And so we had no reference, but because it was a general telling us and casting the vision for it, we just said, you know what, we're gonna take that, we're gonna, you know, deposit that seed into our hearts and pray on it, and like, if God wants to resurrect it, he can. And so we just prayed on that, having no idea and no plans to move to California. Come to find out a couple years later, we relocate our entire ministry to Southern California. And the reason we relocated our site to Southern California is because we felt the only way for this vision to live beyond us is to have a school. That was it. You know, we didn't just want this thing to stop with us. You know, when we die, we didn't want the vision of One Nation, One Day to see nations transformed. It's not about, again, it's not about a man. It's not about our mantle. It's about what God is doing in nations. And so the only way for this thing to exist was what we have here, was this school. We have got to have an environment where young people can grow into a place and experience and fail and find success and get their education so that parents actually trust us and want their kids to come. And so we said, that's the only way that'll work. So we said, well, Southeastern Michigan isn't the best place, you know, to convince people to move from and be a part of our school. And so I'm so sorry if you're from Michigan, but this is not a dig on Michigan. I love it there. It's beautiful, especially this time of year. You should check it out. But we said, man, what is a place that we could, is there a move in our future as a ministry? And so we started to ask the question, and it was like God hit the gas pedal for us. In 2015, we were asking the question. We ended up moving to Southern California, moved our whole ministry out there. Relocated about 60 people, which is crazy, and so we have this beautiful spot in Dana Point, California, and it's been wild. We're pinching ourselves. It's like so easy to pray. I feel like I'm cheating every day when I pray there because it's like obviously this is beautiful. I thank you, God, for where I live and all this stuff. But anyways, so when we moved to California, that seed of what Pastor Tommy deposited into us in winter of 2014 began to resurrect. And we had seen so many things taking place around America. Of course, you know, like I said, we've seen our world change. You know, I've watched the world change in my lifetime. I know we all have. And there just seems to be this environment where God is shaking up the church to actually be the church and to come together like never before, to be a part of something that's never been seen before. It just seems like it's the Bible. And so we began to have this passion that started to grow in our hearts again for Los Angeles. And so we started asking the question about a year and a half ago, what would it look like if we did something here at home? And we do One Nation, One Days every other year right now because the size and scale of bringing 2,000 to 5,000 people somewhere with a staff of about 20 people is really about 19 of our staff are like admitted to mental hospitals for 6 months after our events. And so I don't really expect anything different after this one. We said, man, what it looked like if we started to go to an every year format and just, again, had these moments that made way to a movement for the church to actually be the church. And so, and what would it look like if we did something at home? And it wouldn't necessarily be One Nation, One Day because we're not gathering our nation together. But the city of Los Angeles was burning in our hearts and we were so passionate for it. And so we sat with Pastor Tommy and Pastor Matthew about a year and a half ago and we said, hey, we want to remind you guys of something that you cast the vision for, and would this be something that you think you'd want to be a part of? And this isn't public yet, so please don't tweet it. We've basically for the last year been asking everybody, just begging somebody to tell us that this is a stupid idea. And we've sat with our pastors and We're in Orange County, and we're with our church is Free Chapel, and I know we have Free Chapel here with us as well. But Pastor Jensen, we began to ask some of our spiritual covering and different mentors of our ministry, and said, what would it look like if we did something in the U.S. and so we really didn't get any type of people, you know, in God's wisdom for us to do something at home where we gather the church together to have a large display of what God is doing in the city. We thought, you know, there probably is an easier city to start with than Los Angeles. You know, we should probably start in Tulsa. And so that would make most sense, but we really felt like there was something so crazy about this year, 2020, and all the different elements to it, it being an election year and all of that. And so we have officially decided that we are going to be a part, and we are going to have an event called One Day LA next summer in Los Angeles. And we're going to gather the church together to be a part of this event. And this is a shameless plug. I'll just say this. And Nick told me to do it. And so I wasn't even planning on doing this. I wasn't even planning on talking about it yet. But we're gonna have 20,000 missionaries that are going to serve the city of Los Angeles for 1 week. And we're going to basically just love on the city. And I do think that there's something so significant about gathering our sights together to be a part of something that's bigger than any one of us. And, you know, just wanted to cast the vision for this a little bit. I'm going to try to fly through this thing really quick. Forgive me. Not going to show this. Not going to show that. Not going to show that. There we go. Sorry. I wish I could skip to the end of this. I don't do this a lot. So the dream for us, for is going to be called One Day LA. And the theme of this event is going to be Love Has No Limits. And we are going to run behind the banner of this idea of love and loving the city of Los Angeles in the most irrational way that the city's ever seen before. We're expecting 20,000 volunteers to come and be a part of the event. It's 800 teams, 1 million man hours to the city of Los Angeles, and we will do 1 to 3 stadium events that are geared towards reaching the lost in the city. And again, I say all of this to say that this is what the results for us have been when we have, I think one of the spiritual gifts that we have as a ministry is that we have this gift of faith to be able to rally groups of people together and really this thing's been fueled by our school, our site, and our students. And you know, they're at a place right now where they come, they're living in Southern California. We have students from all over the country. We have housing there for them, and of course they're doing their schooling, they're serving 20 to 25 hours a week. If Southeastern asks how many hours a week that they're serving, we'll probably move that down to about 15. But they're running the ministry, and you know, for us, I don't know what we would do if we, you know, that this, everything that we're doing is focused on them. And so I just want to encourage you, I'm running out of time, but you know, if you have any questions for us, I'd love to chat with some folks afterwards. We are here for you guys. We would love to be able to do things together with your students in the future where we're running together. We have great friends that have come on board to be a part of One Day LA. Some of those guys are for us. I don't know where I went here. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. We have folks like, there it is, folks like ARC. Pastor Dino Rizzo has officially said we're gonna get behind One Day LA. We're not only gonna do that, we're gonna move our Serve Day and Servolution. So we're inviting about 1,200 churches to that. Of course, the Dream Center, Messenger International with John and Lisa Bevere, IHOP. We have some technology friends that we're working with. YWAM is gonna be a part of this, and the Send as well. And so it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time for us to be able to gather the church together to be the church. And when we continue to do this in greater fashion, when we find ways to say, we're gonna, of course, do what we do at home, we're gonna have our local expression, but then we're gonna gather together and be a part of something. We believe that LA will be a template for America. In God's wisdom, if you can do something in LA, you can do it anywhere. And you know, I just wanna encourage you to what you're working on and what you're developing in these young people's lives will change them, will transform them. And we have expectation on our students that literally nothing is impossible for them, that they can live an impossible radical life no matter what they feel like God has uniquely asked of them and called them to be a part of. And so that's a little bit about us. Thank you for giving me a couple moments to speak this afternoon.